Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Okay? Welcome to Mental Dialogue. This is your host, Montoya Smith. We have a special addition to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show this afternoon. And
we got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, get up, get up.
Eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Get up, get up, get up.
Why does a pessimist see a glass half empty, but an optimist see a glass half full? Are we locked into regressive mentality by chains unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think. Think.
Get up, get up, get up.
Welcome to Mental Dialogue, and I'm your host, Montoya Smith. Today we have a special edition of the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Keep in mind, we are going every Saturday live from Executive Cuts here in Atlanta, Georgia, from Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. But we have a special edition of the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. And this afternoon, I am pleased to bring on retired Lieutenant Colonel Brant House. Brant House, you out there, brother?
I am, man. Good morning, good afternoon out there where you are. I'm in O'Fallon, Illinois, the St. Louis area, just outside of St. Louis, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come on and talk about a subject that I'm extremely passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely, and to let the listeners know that what that subject actually is this brother right here, man, something that's also near and dear to me. I just wanted to bring on Brant House, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the Air Force. Me and his brother, we actually went to the Air Force Academy together. I stayed in 6 years, and he actually did his entire time and retired out of the Air Force. But something that has been near and dear to me in my lifetime is going into schools and being mentors, and education has been of importance. And over the years, I've, you know, through the likes of social media and things of that nature, you know, me and his brother have been friends for a lifetime, but definitely have been in different parts of the country and parts of the world throughout our, you know, throughout his career in the Air Force and even my movement in my lifetime. But I've been able to keep up and have known that education is near and dear to this brother's heart. And I was just so pleased to recently find out that you were actually that you're actually vying for a Board of Education position in O'Fallon, Illinois Township. And so when I was like, you know, when I saw that, when I first saw that announcement, I thought to myself, that's just like the Brant House I know. And so, brother, before we even get into necessarily, you know, your opportunity to, you know, fill that position, and I think anybody who knows you, they know, you know, that you are going to be a formidable member to that board and bring a lot of insight. But before we go into that, man, You know, when I was fortunate enough to be invited to your actual retirement ceremony that you had back in your hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, I know you probably want to shout that out. The brother I know always wants to, but I'll go ahead and get the shout out, and we'll get back
right,
on point.
Hey, you know, it's a challenge. I'm in school right now at Washington University. I'm working on this campaign. And then it's all happening, you know, a lot of things going on in the middle of March Madness. I can't believe spring break doesn't last, you know, the entire month of March for March Madness. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I'm giving a shout-out to my boys from Louisville. I hope they hold it down during the tournament, but we'll see how it goes. It's always a fun time.
So, you see, I had to let that brother get that shout-out. You see, he's recommending spring break for the entire March Madness series. So yeah, he's a diehard. Louisville, Kentucky, and if I'm saying that correct, but yeah, I've always known that that's near and dear to your heart as well. But to get back on point, man, throughout your career, man, I remember that your retirement, when I was fortunate enough, and thank you for that invite, man, when I was there, I remember throughout the time, you know, for all the accolades and that you got, you know, even in your time in the military, and this brother right here is a real-life superhero, have the honors and the scars to back that up. But like I said, you know, not to necessarily get into the Air Force career, but I remember through all the accolades that you got throughout your time in the military, the thing that was consistent at every base and that everybody who worked with you or even some of your commanders who came and spoke, they all talked about how no matter where you were at, you found a way to reach out and get into the school systems and mentor and serve some type of role for upcoming, you know, youth. And that's just something that, you know, because it was so consistent throughout your entire career, and you can let the audience know how many years you were in the military, but throughout your career, that was something that was near and dear to you. And so, like I said from the beginning, I was not shocked to hear that, you know, you were going for this position. But like I said, before we get into the position, tell me, you know, I want to just hear from you and let the audience hear, you know, why that was so important that no matter where you were at, that you chose to, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, to involve yourself with focusing on education, especially at the primary age, man. Just give us a little insight into, you know, why that makes you tick, per se.
Well, and I got to start out, you know, thanking somebody that is near and dear to my heart, my mother. You and I both are successful products of single mothers. And we hold that I know we both have the same affection for our mothers and what they've done for us and how they set us up. And my mother set me up, you know, coming up as a kid, you know, don't have any regrets. She never said it that way. She just said, whatever you want to do, just do it. And try it. I've taken that into my adult life in the sense of, I never wanted to look back on a place that I've been and say, man, I wish I would have. I wish I could have. And I've everywhere I've gone, I wanted to say, this is what I did, and leave my mark somewhere. Okay. Because I think I have a lot to give. I think I have a lot to learn. It's a two-way street when you get out and help the community. And, you know, I was in Grand Forks, North Dakota, didn't know how to get into the community. The city is about 10 miles away from the base, and I didn't know how to get into the community, but I connected with some folks and got involved with a sib shop, and I was really proud of that. A sib shop is kids of family members with special needs, siblings with special needs who don't get a lot of attention. So they would come with us, and we would have a good time with them. They'd get to be free, talk, and whatever. But, you know, that was my first assignment as a pilot and an officer. And I just carried that out wherever I went. And I always said, you know, man, I did say I wish I could, you know, do more. I would leave places wishing I could do more. And now that I've retired where I am, it seemed like the best opportunity to make a mark where I'm passionate is in the education system as a school board member.
Hey, man, that's incredible, man, and I don't say that lightly because, you know, let's think about what Brand just said to us in the sense that in his first assignment and like many of us, you know, coming out of college, you know, really trying to, you know, make our mark on the real world, per se, and that type of thing, it's very common that in making that mark initially that we are focused on our careers and focused on the things that we need to do. And so at your very first assignment, your first opportunity, as you said, to get out into the community was to an assignment, or not necessarily an assignment, but you volunteer to help with special needs kids. And that's, like I said, something that I was in the admiration of at your retirement, that it's something that continued throughout your career. So I think that's amazing that at that time in your life, you were already, like you said, trying to find a way to get involved, but not just focused on yourself like many of us can and will be. And a lot of times we won't look to look, go out into the community later in our lives. Not that everyone's that way, but it's just I think it's just very telling that, you know, like you said, it's your very first assignment, and you're at your first assignment trying to become a pilot, and people can only imagine what type of work that was. You know, I was a supply officer, and not to, you know, belittle that, but there is a certain amount of admiration within the Air Force for the esteem that we hold our pilots in, because we know that, you know, for the most part, you go through more or training than officers in other career fields within the Air Force. Like I said, it's not to, you know, place one above the other, but knowing at your very first assignment, you know, you're responsible for, you know, a million dollar aircraft per se, and having to be responsible for that. And so a lot of times, a lot of pilots are very, very focused initially in their career. Not that, you know, obviously your background and your career says the same thing, but just to take the time to get off into a special need area, I think that's, you know, just even more just more incredible to think that's where you started. And so,
well,
anyway, let's bring this home. Oh, yeah, please go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, and it's not of my own drive either, alone. It's been also because you know my story of how I got to the Air Force Academy. It was on a wing and a prayer, and I like to say that a lot of times that many of my successes in life have been provided to me, and opportunities in life have been provided to me by people I've never met, people I've only known for a short period of time, or people who like me even though I've done unlikable things. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
It's one of those things we hear in church. Thank God we don't get everything we deserve. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
very good point, man. And if we can just belabor that for a second, because that's something that's in my heart. Like I said, just being able, you know, being fortunate enough to be introduced to you, you know, literally my first day out of, you know, South Carolina. I grew up in a three-stop light town in South Carolina, Honey Hill Pass, South Carolina. Let me shout that out since you shout out Louisville. So, but but you know, coming from my three-stop light town and flying on the plane and, you know, out to Colorado for the, you know, because you and I both had to go to the academy's preparatory school because we weren't quite just ready for the academy yet, and you know, so we kind of took different paths. And your path was actually different than the rest of our friends who, you know, a lot of, you know, we're still fortunate enough because of that school, you know, we still have a lot of close friends that's, you know, almost a unique relationship that was forged because of the opportunity to go through, you know, through the fire and brim of the academy and getting through that experience. You know, we still have a lot of close friends, you know, from years, and that's, you know, one of the best things about that experience. But you were one of the first people, you know, we met and I met, and but like I said, your story was still unique. You know, I was coming out of high school, attempted to get into the academy, had an opportunity to go to the preparatory school, whereas you actually entered into the Air Force right out of high school. And I always recalled when we would hear your story, you weren't the only one at the prep school like that. It was, you know, basically they get through the prep school, if you go into the military first, and basically you're enlisted, but get the opportunity to go to the academy, it's pretty standard that they will send you to the preparatory school just to kind of get you, you know, the rigors of going back to school and things of that nature. And so it was always unique that you had, you know, like you said, went that route. But I also remember, which was amazing to me, and I think this is something that I wanted to, you know, speak to you about, was you talked about your high school, how you were in high school as far as the type of grades, because like I said, we had a lot of people, you know, not a lot of people, but a few others who had went your route and, you know, went enlisted, then got a chance to go to the academy. But typically their story would be more or less that when they were coming out of high school, based on maybe what the recruiter had told them, they actually went into the enlistment opportunity first and may could have had an opportunity to go to the academy, but the recruiter either wasn't aware of that opportunity or didn't, you know, necessarily
right.
Dispel that information in a way that they, you know, they could have taken advantage of it right away. In your situation,
right.
Yours was a little different than even the other enlisted in the sense that your high school career wasn't that, in a sense that in a stick, when we think of all the academies, West Point, Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, for those who are familiar with those opportunities, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's kind of promoted or and to, you know, to a certain extent truthful, but promoted as the best of the best, you know, get this opportunity to go to
right.
These, you know, these military academies. And your story was always unique to me in the sense that you was like, well, I didn't have that type of high school career, and you talked about when you finally got the idea, and it was because you were attempting to get some additional education while enlisted. So please just give a little, you know, a little bit of that history, because I said it was yours was very unique compared to most of us who had stellar high school grades. And I think that's what makes it so more amazing. Now you're trying to be on the Board of Education, but you can probably relate to kids more because of your high school career.
And, you make a good point. And people ask me, why do I tell kids about my high school career and how poor of a high school career I had, you know. And the reason I do it is because, one, is to let them know, I don't care how bad you've done, you still got a chance. But two, I'm talking to the teachers also, because I want them to know they don't know who the next award winner or medal winner in the Air Force is going to be. The next pilot is going to be. He ain't just in your AP classes. He's not just in your honors classes. You know what I mean?
I love it, brother.
To your point, I got into the Air Force Academy after I enlisted in the Air Force. I had been in about 3 years, and the Air Force, I was in my last year of eligibility for the prep school, and I kept calling the Air Force Academy to see if I could go, and they kept turning me down, and it was because I graduated high school with a 1.9 GPA. And as with most colleges, but especially our military academies and our higher and more rigorous institutions, they're meritocracies. You know, you have to show that you're capable of doing the work, and you do that with your grades. And ultimately, the right person was in the right position, and he liked the words that I had to say, and I showed him that, or I asked him to give me the opportunity, and I wouldn't let him down. And about 3 weeks prior to meeting you at the prep school, he said, "Pack your bags. We'll see you in 3 weeks." And that was a great opportunity. That was the director of admissions at the Air Force. But prior to that, so how do I graduate with the 1.9? That's part of the passion that I have for this, you know, for education. Is kids should not be graduating with the 1.9. How far did I get in school before, you know, somebody said, "What is going on with this kid?" I mean, I've obviously graduated with the engineering degree. I'm in school now getting my MBA. I'm a fairly intelligent dude. Maybe I wasn't applying myself, and that's actually a big part of it. But it's so many factors that go into a 1.9 GPA. It seems like it's not much, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I think if I could just say this real quickly, man, I just want to reiterate that for our audience, because you're a very humble brother, and you kind of always have, but I'm pretty sure they heard you say it, but I want to highlight it. 1.9 GPA high school career, and we're talking to a engineer, an Air Force pilot, and in the process of getting an MBA. So like you said, the higher level of education level or the institutions, they're looking to say, can you do the work? But at the same time, it's not, and I think your part of your story is not simply that you're a diamond in the rough. You want to find out, how do we reach more kids, as you said, possibly who are not applying themselves to a certain extent. But like you said, and I can recall, because I was per se smart coming up, you know, I definitely had teachers who took interest in me. And so there is kind of a level of care that I can say and admit that I was afforded and appreciated. I have some of my favorite teachers looked out for me throughout my little small town career and gave me an opportunity not to be stuck in Huntington Path, and not to, you know, say anything bad about Huntington Path, but it is a place where a lot of people don't leave. And so with that said, man, this is, I think, an incredible opportunity for the O'Fallon Board of Education to have someone who's actually there that can give insight to the kids I feel should most be trying to reach, because in a sense the smart kids are looked out for, generally speaking, man. But go ahead. I just wanted to highlight, 1.9 engineer degree, pilot, currently going for an MBA, man. I think that's amazing.
And that's the passion I have. You know, luckily somebody gave me the opportunity, and I don't want kids to have to be given the opportunity. I want us to identify those kids now. And you know, once I got to the Air Force Academy, I was a different kind of student than I ever was in high school, obviously. And it had a lot to do with the friends I was around. It had a lot to do with the inspiration that the teachers and the motivation that they were giving me to be successful. And I don't know that I ever recognized that in school. Sometimes high school systems, you know, I've studied a lot of them and gone through to see, you know, what their graduation rates and the achievement gap levels are. And what I see is basically we're making license plates. We're just stamping license plates and sending them out the door. And whatever your number is, that's what you are going out the door. And you have the opportunity to achieve, yeah, but for those ones that need more motivation, we have to expect that that's part of the job of our teachers, to motivate, to inspire, obviously to teach. And you know, I've never been a teacher in the classic sense. I'll never take anything away from what they do. They do the greatest work of our country, because the future of our country comes from our schools. But I will say this, as an instructor pilot for, you know, 15 years, every co-pilot that sat next to me had a different personality, a different way they learned, and had required different motivation to do the right thing sometimes. And I think it's the same way for our students. You know, we have to figure out, because we have to produce the same product, but the materials that we're using to put that product together are always coming in differently. And we have to expect our school systems to be creative, innovative, with limited resources. I mean, we are in a horrible situation in Illinois, where the national average, states fund schools at the 50% level at least. We here, the state funds us at 20% level. So we rely a lot on the community, and the funding schedule is uncertain. We may or may not get our next check and the next check, so you never know what programs might have to be cut, and that's not good for us. But we have to focus on the entire spectrum of the school. You know, academic excellence for all students. And you hadn't mentioned it, and I don't know if I related to you clearly, but I was appointed to the school board about 7 months ago in September.
Okay.
And have been on the board since then. The election for the next 4 years is coming up, so that's what I'm running for.
Good to get that clarification out there. Go ahead.
And what I've seen in that time is, yeah, we are challenged for resources. But I've also seen that we have an amazing teacher staff and faculty that drives some of these kids to the highest grades in this area, and going to some of the and we'll send kids to all the academies. We'll send kids to some of the best schools in the country. But then, you know, there is that gap where we have kids who is a brand, you know, we have brand houses, I'll say, down at the bottom that, you know, we're not able to expand the brand on just yet, you know, our brand of excellence. And I think we have opportunities to expand our brand of excellence to those kids. And how do you do that? You know, the challenge with kids at the bottom of the gap is they get less attention. They probably have the least experienced teachers, you know what I mean? And we have to make a conscious effort to redirect that focus and somehow expand that focus to those kids. I shouldn't say redirect it. We want to expand it and not drop in any level of our achievement right now, but improve on the high level of achievement we're working at right now. So my story inspires me because it lets me know just like the people gave me a chance and the opportunity to have a great Air Force career and experience some of the things that I have, I want to be. I'd like being in the position of helping to ensure that for other kids who might have been in my same situation, but in general, that all kids are receiving the best education possible to aspire to their dreams, whatever they are.
Yes, man. I love the perspective, love the insight, and as I listen to you, and that's why I think, you know, okay, and thanks for clarifying. I didn't realize you had already been appointed to the board, but like you said, you're competing for the next 4 years, you know, I guess in a sense a permanent for the next 4 years. And, and like I said, I think that school board will only receive the benefits of your perspective because, you know, in my time of mentoring, which I haven't mentored in over 10 years, admittedly, you know, I still am involved in the community, but not specifically in the school system. And I know things have probably changed in the last 10 years, but I can only imagine, like you said, as you were highlighting the schools, you know, you have kids that are going to the academies and then maybe the Ivy Leagues and schools, things of that nature, and some of the top HBCUs possibly. But I can only imagine, like most boards of education, especially working with limited resources, you know, which is, you know, it's really just a shame in this country, you know, how we do tend to look at public education in the sense of, it's you know, it's just kind of always been there, but you know, making it a level of importance to where we're not just highlighting our best students, because I think most board of educators, to a certain extent, you know, it's easy to, like you say, put out front the successes that you have, but unfortunately,
right.
You know, not recognizing, you know, how do we work with the gap and what people typically do due to lack of resources. As you said, we're just stamping them through and we're just saying, well, let's just go through the process. Well, you know, within personal lives, and, you know, we could go into a million stories on this, you know, even going to the academy. When there are a lack of resources, that's usually when humans are most creative, and I think
exactly.
That's kind of what you're talking about, going, you know, I'll have an opportunity to be in this position and ensure that the creative ways to find success even with a lack of resources, because like I said, that's what humans are, we are capable of doing anyway. You're just wanting to make sure that in your position, in, you know, your opportunity to make a difference, that the Board of Education there in O'Fallon is not forgetting of how to do that with that lack of, you know, resources, man. So once again, your perspective, I think, is much needed, and, you know, and I'm glad to have been able to bring you on, you know, this afternoon with Mental Dialogue, because I do want our audience to hear that perspective. And, you know, me personally, I just applaud you in the fact that you are taking that type of difference, because, you know, academics like myself or intellectuals, you know, whatever, to that extent, I think that's who listen to. I have a lot of listeners who are like that with Mental Dialogue. We can typically belabor the theories on education and what's right and what's wrong. But you're actually stepping up and actually trying to play a critical role in making a difference, you know, in a way that you see fit. And I just, as you just said, I think your entire story is one that has to be told. And, you know, and any board of education or any area of education that you want to go in, there, you know, in my opinion, there is receiving an absolute benefit in, you know, what you're doing, man. So thanks for coming on, Brent House.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and if I could say one last thing, you know, I'm just one vote on the board, and I, you know, we are a board of governance. We write policies and help send the school in the direction of, we're a trustee of the community. We want to send the school in the direction that represents the values and the expectations of our community members. And with that said, like I said, I'm just one vote. We have to, and part one of my goals is to get parents more involved into the school board, the activities, the school activities, and their kids' activities, so that they can be their achievements and performance can be maximized and optimized. So that's another big goal of mine while I'm on the board, and I think that would be key and essential to us achieving at a high level.
All right, man. Great stuff, man. We're getting out of here, man. I'm going to go ahead and throw on the sponsorship, and we're out of here, man. Good stuff, man. We'll be in touch, Brent.
Thanks
a lot
for having me, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
For details to become a sponsor of Mental Dialogue, visit Facebook at Mental Dialogue or call Montoya Smith at 404-604-9477. That's 404-604-9477. Mental Dialogue, where all I ask is that you think, that you think, that you think.